These centers were created in response to the high fatality and injury rates in agriculture. In response to this, the Northeast Center's mission, enhancing agricultural and rural health by preventing and treating occupational injury and illness. To meet this mission, the Community Collaboration for Farmworker Health and Safety Project aims to develop a community process in which we can reduce occupational injury and illnesses in migrant and seasonal farm workers. One of the study regions is located in Down East Maine, and if anybody is familiar with Maine, it's a rather large state. Travel to Portland and then go about 3.5 hours northeast and you'll reach Down East Maine, otherwise Washington County, where 10,000 migrant seasonal farm workers travel each year to participate in a 3 to 4 week intense harvest. The method we used was a community-based process, which I'm going to depict here. There we go. Where the first step was to form a work team, which, again, as I mentioned, our focus is employers here. So they were part of this community team. We had farm workers, we had employers, we had the community health center involved, and anyone else who was interested in migrant and seasonal farm worker help. The process that this group oversaw was to gather and evaluate injury data and to prioritize the problems of the migrant seasonal farm workers. From there, they worked to design interventions as a group and to test these interventions, finally to evaluate them and decide if they needed to make refinements and then further do testing and disseminate this information to the community. As a group, they looked at community interviews and actually participated in organizing focus group discussions. Employers came to monthly work team meetings and gave their input as to what they saw to be the priority problems. We conducted medical chart reviews at the local migrant health program. And there was also some research previously done by NIOSH, which contributed to this step of the project. To the left, you'll see just a laundry list of all of the community problems that the farm workers were facing. And then over time, we developed to refine that list and prioritize the problems. And as a group, they decided that muscle and joint and heat and sun were the top priorities, but they had a really hard time deciding between the two. So we went with that, and we started thinking about design interventions for both, since we couldn't prioritize. For heat and sun, they thought about improving access to drinking water, probably similar issues of not having access to cups or clean water. Provide shade areas. The fields are just massive, and there's really nowhere to get out of the sun for a 10-minute break, if that's possible. Increase access to proper clothing. People don't even have, you know, long sleeve or long pants or hats to wear, so they thought about maybe we could have at the Raker Center, which they call it, maybe provide clothing there where they could get the right materials they need. Maybe we need to do education. And then we also thought about, well, what could we do about muscle and joint problems? We could do physical conditioning. We could talk about maybe there's a right way to rake, and we could educate people on that. And then maybe we could also talk to the health professionals and share with them what some of the problems are associated to muscle and joint. And then finally, the group decided that the rake is where it's at. That is really where the focus needs to be. And so we talked about different design methods, some rakes that the workers were already using, and then some just based, we had an ergonomist and an illustrator come to our community meetings, and we just brainstormed some ergonomic changes that we could make to the rake. We pilot tested those different rakes in 2005 and just got a better handle on how these rakes affected people's body. And what it came down to was that 70 and 80 tine rakes were the most accepted. And people really liked extended handles. So in 2006, we did a more in-depth trial. And prior to that, we made some refinements to the intervention. So on the top, you'll see the traditional single-handled rake, where it's just one short handle, if you can even call it that, in the center of the rake. And then there's extended handles, which would create, you know, so the workers don't have to bend over as far. In 2006, we went out and did a trial of these two different rakes and found staggering results that support the addition of long-handled rakes. It reduced the amount of force required to pull up through the blueberry bush, The workers' pain that they experienced decreased drastically with extended handles, and overall acceptability was higher. And in addition, one of the most important things to both workers and employers, because it is a piece rate, was that increased productivity. From here, this past season, we disseminated the results. We went to grower presentations. There was national and international conferences, and we went and talked about what the differences were if people switched to these extended handles and the impact that it would have on the worker physique as well as on the berry, because that's going to be important to the growers. And then this past season, as I said, in 2007, this is in August, we held rake modification workshops where people lined up to bring their single-handled rake in and trade it or have their rake modified with extended handles. And this was subsidized by the project, but the workers did spend $20 of their own money to have these handles, so half the cost the workers paid. We also received funding to create a video to share the information about what we found, and are working on publications. With any community project, I think people think about sustainability. We've already seen an increased demand of handles. You know, we may have only had contact with 150 workers, but those 150 workers have gone to their respective colleagues or co-workers, and the increased handle demand is extensive. The manufacturer who produces those handles, he's already seeing an increase, and actually he's sending out the information about these handles. So our PowerPoint presentation that talks about the results, that's being disseminated even in Japan. As I said, we also developed a video, and that was funded from the Maine Department of Labor, so the group has already sought out additional funding methods to continue with sustaining the project. Talk of holding additional workshops in the coming years, that is something we'll have to figure out as a group. Are the workers going to be seeking out these handles and paying for them on their own, or do we need some kind of in-between step where we're continuing to subsidize? And, of course, the work team, the decision makers through that oversaw this entire project, what's happening to them? I think that that's still an unknown, and it's a concern of ours. They're interested in staying together as a group, but it really takes a community organizer to, you know, find the place where we're going to hold the meeting and assign the times and take notes. So that's still a little question we have. Perhaps the migrant health program will be able to continue holding those meetings and maybe not the focus on occupational health and safety but other community concerns. But we do know that the sustainability between the migrant health program and the NEC is actually a tremendous collaboration, and we've already talked about expanding into a new project site. This project, if anybody is familiar with it, actually has two study regions. And I'm not focusing on the one that has been the most success with employers, because we've actually had success in both regions with employers. In Orange County, New York, what we thought was going to be our final work team meeting, because we are in year four of our funding stage, the employer said, "This isn't going to be our last meeting, is it? This is a great project. I'll help you, you know, find funding. I know some people in the state, and whatever I can do to help, I'm there, whatever you need." So this is only because of time why I decided to focus on one region. But of course, it hasn't all been highs and lows. There are certain cons associated with having employers involved in the process. In the Blueberry region, it was really difficult to find workers who were not employed by the same owner, because those are more large farms, they're corporate farms. And our goal was to have workers and employers from different farms so people would feel comfortable and willing to speak out, although we would check in with the others through focus groups and things like that. But sometimes you did have that dynamic and the workers were a little reluctant to speak. Translation, not that it... Well, I guess it could even be a barrier in the sense that down East Maine there aren't too many translators that we can rely on or even that are in the area. So that could be a problem. However, we did overcome it with our bilingual site coordinator and the use of simultaneous interpretation equipment that helped sped up the process during the work team meetings. And it allowed people to talk directly to each other instead of having to use a translator. It just made it a little bit more cohesive. And then there's also competition between producers, especially in the corporate farms, kind of trade secret issues. And then choice of priorities. There is a compromise. You know, pesticides might be a really hot topic among the workers, but we had to think about something that was going to be acceptable. We, we needed an intervention that we could get out into the field. And so there might have been some negotiation within the team about the priorities. But the pros have been unbelievable. We've had donation of equipment, thousands of dollars, $3,000 to $5,000 worth of blueberry rakes have been donated by the employer so that we could go out and do testing. The relationship we developed with the migrant clinic, as I said, has just been phenomenal, and we've expanded into other sites. And it was so nice to have access to the decision makers at the meetings. They could actually move forward with the process right at that meeting instead of having to go back and check in. And I think the one big thing that everybody has said is that really built trust with the workers and with among the community, so mended some bridges. And of course, there, like I said, there was this interest in sustaining their project. So in summary, this it works. It does work. We've actually expanded, like I said, to a new site in Maine with broccoli workers, and that project is off the ground and running with some feasibility funding, and we've applied. We'll see if we get funding to continue that relationship or those efforts. And we're also working on a project in Connecticut with the University of Connecticut focusing on tobacco workers. Thank you.